Welcome to the Faith and Work Ministry of Watermark Community Church in Dallas, Texas, where we hope to equip and encourage you towards daily faithfulness in your vocation and remind you that your work matters to God. This is your host, Ryan Wall. Each month, we will discuss practical topics on how to apply your faith in the workplace. These events are intended for a wide variety of audiences. From church members to coworkers, we invite you to come and see. To learn more about how you can be equipped, go to watermark.org/work. This month, we will hear from our friend Lance Throkill, CEO of All Metals Fabricating.
Thank you, Ryan, for making me sound a lot better than I am, a lot cooler than I am, but I really appreciate that. That was quite the intro, and it was just humbling just to hear that. And so what Ryan didn't tell you is that's just part of my story. I haven't always been in the family business. So I'd like to start our time just giving you a little bit of history about myself to add some context. And so I grew up here in Dallas, and I had strong Christian parents, and through their faithfulness, I came to know the Lord at a young age, put my trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 8 years old. And but as I got into high school, partying and women became more of a priority to me. And what you need to know about me is I'm born on New Year's Eve. And so if you know, those of you that know me in the room, you think it's coincidental or not, I should say, because I started when I was 18, I rented out a microtel with a buddy, and we each invested $1,500 and we doubled our money. We booked out the whole hotel. The next year it turned into the DoubleTree, and it just kept growing. And so I started a business from it and started throwing parties for a living while I was in college. And by the time I was 21, I was running promotions for the top nightclubs in Dallas. I had two DJs I was managing and a band as well. And so it kind of culminated with our fifth New Year's party. We rented out the whole West End Marketplace. And we grossed $190,000 that night as a company and profited almost half of that. So it was kind of just, at that point, I'm 23. I'm getting my master's in accounting at SMU. I've got a band that's touring nationally. I'm just basically doing whatever I wanted, just whenever I wanted. And that sounds like a dream life for a 23-year-old. But the reality is it was totally empty. And around that time, I stumbled into the porch here at Watermark, the Young Adults Ministry, and JP was talking. And he was talking about partying and women and drugs from the stage. I was like, okay, this is something I can relate to, you know? And I had never heard anybody talk about those things in church before, so I just kept coming back. And God really used the porch to change my life. And so around that time, I'd finished up grad school, and I'd always planned on going into business with my dad. He's just the most selfless person I've ever known. And so I'd always just planned to go and help him in any way that I can and hopefully let him retire one day. And so essentially, I was going from throwing parties for a living and taking a pay cut to go enter payroll and journal entries. And so, like I said, I was studying accounting. So I'm like, what am I doing? This is so boring. I'm sitting here entering payroll and doing journal entries. And I'm like, Lord, is this really what you have for me? You know, I at this time I said, you know, God is changing my life, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I need to go into full-time ministry. Maybe this isn't where I'm supposed to be. And around that time, I'd started reading a Rick Warren devotional every day as part of my quiet time. And one day it was about Colossians 3, 23 and 24, and it just says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And so what that verse is saying is, like, it doesn't matter what your job is. You can be sweeping the floors to the glory of God. And if that is your form of worship to Him and you're doing it for His glory and you're doing it with excellence, then you're going to get eternal treasure from that. And that was just paradigm shifting for me. I was like, wow, so I can do these, you know, journal entries to the glory of God and get treasure in heaven from it? I was just mind blown by that. And it really just opened my eyes that no matter what your job is, you are in full-time ministry. And so that was paradigm shifting for me, and it gave me a new motivation. And that's when God turned my view on work, my perspective on work, from an obligation to an opportunity. So really, it became an opportunity to serve others. And by having an eternal perspective about work, I found purpose in my work. which led to more motivation and more joy, which makes me a better employee and eventually a better boss. Did you guys know that the majority of Americans do not like their job? I figure that's not surprising. Only 34% of Americans are actively engaged at their work. To reference the movie Office Space, does anyone else feel like they're just doing TPS reports around here? I'm guessing I'm not the only person in this room that at some point in their life has felt like they were just punching a clock. The reason I shared my story to start out is because no matter what your job is, I encourage you today just to realize that that is your ministry. And by changing your perspective and realizing that your work is your ministry, you will have more motivation at work, you have more purpose, and therefore have more joy. And so today I'm going to share with three ways that how practically, just having the right perspective, how practically you can live that out. And so like I said, it all starts with the right perspective, which is that Colossians 3:23 and 24. You've got to have the right perspective. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So for me, working at it with all my heart, a way that resonates more with me is just doing everything with excellence. And so that's the way I read that. Do everything with excellence. So that's my first point, is just be excellent. Be excellent in everything that you do. And it starts with leading yourself with excellence. You can't be excellent in everything you do unless you're leading yourself with excellence. What do I mean by that? So I used to, before I had an eternal perspective about work, I used to just get there when I had to get there and leave when I needed to leave, or whenever I could leave, I should say. And that changed because now I'm working for the Lord. And so now I get there at 5 a.m. and I spend time with the Lord. I get on my knees and I just say, Lord, I surrender everything to you. I need you. I can't do anything without you. And I pray to him. I say, Lord, use everything I have for your glory, and anything I value more than you, strip it away from me, including this company, including my family, everything I have, whatever I have is yours. And so, and that's a scary prayer to pray. And I make myself pray it almost every single day, because what it does is it reminds myself that this is not my company, it's his. And whether our sales, you know, Brian talked about our sales going, that had nothing to do with me. That's all him. You know, he gets the glory. It's all him. If he wants our company to fail tomorrow, it's going to fail. And so me proclaiming that is just reminding myself of the truth that already is, and that it's God's company. And I'm just here to steward it for the good of others and for his glory. And so I challenge each of you to start your day, if you're not already, just start your day by offering it to him, offering your work as a form of worship to him. Spend time with him. You know, everything in this world is pulling us away from God, especially in the workplace where it's all about self-glorification and money. And so everything's constantly, and we're always in the rat race every day. I'm fall victim to that every single day. And we've got to remind ourselves every day that what our purpose is. And so you have to start your day by pursuing him, so that you filling yourself up so that you can go be excellent. Some other things you need accountability. For me, that looks like being in a small group. Here at Watermark, we call them community groups. Whatever, you know, church you go to, find a group of people that can hold you accountable. And even accountability at work. You know, we have an incredible management team, and they hold me accountable. I hold them accountable to accomplishing the goals that we want to accomplish. Set boundaries up for yourself. Like for me, that looks like blocking things from my social media, from my email that are going to come in and be a distraction for me. Just anything that is going to pull you away from the Lord, just remove it from your life. And so if you want to do everything with excellence like we're called to do, then it has to start with leading yourself with excellence. Then you can lead others. And to help lead others at our organization, I found a quote and put it on signs and t-shirts that we give to the employees, and it says this: we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. So we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. So work at it, you know, lead yourself with excellence, and then it becomes ingrained in who you are. Another opportunity to stand out at work is handling conflict with excellence. The workplace is rampant with conflict, every workplace. If you're not having conflict, then you're just faking it. You know, most people in the workplace, they sweep it under the rug. Meanwhile, they're holding a grudge. People aren't even talking to each other because of that. And it's just an unhealthy environment. And so we as Christians have to press into conflict. You know, you want to stand out, take ownership for your mistakes in the workplace. That will make you stand out. Ask for forgiveness to people in the workplace. And that will, I mean, people's jaws will drop because that's so countercultural to the workplace. And so handle conflict with excellence. One thing I did was I took the Watermark conflict guide. For those of you that are business owners, this might be helpful to you. I took the Watermark conflict guide and just made it an all metals field guide for dealing with conflict. And I simplified it quite a bit and just made it a little one pager. And we trained on it a few years ago, and we have it in our new employee handbooks that we pass out. And it's just biblical ways of dealing with conflict, and it's helpful. And I have to remind myself of that all the time because, you know, being a leader, I don't want to deal with every little problem or, you know, I just want to sweep it under the rug at times. But whenever I do, sure enough, it ends up becoming a bigger issue down the road. So press into conflict, handle it with excellence. I challenge each of you, you know, to think about right now, what ways can you be more excellent today? And the key is remember, you have to remember the why. The why you do what you do. A great quote is, hard work is a prison cell if your work doesn't have meaning. And so remember, your work is your ministry. Which brings me to my next point, and that's be a servant. Thankfully, we have a perfect servant leader, the greatest leader of all time, Jesus. He was seated in the heavenly realms and came to this earth to wash the feet of his disciples and then go lay his life down as a savior for our sins. And so when he was alive, he said, you know that in Mark 10, 42 through 45, it says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so my job as CEO of our company just means I'm the chief servant of everybody. And I tell people my job and our management team, you know, every one of our job, anybody in a leadership position in our company, their job is to serve the people. And so we need to position them, give them what they need to be successful. Thankfully, Bob Chapman, he's the CEO of Barry Waymiller Company. It's a $2.5 billion manufacturing company. He wrote a book called Everybody Matters. Everybody Matters by Bob Chapman. Highly recommend that to everybody here. And they, in the early days of their company, they were just like $15 million company. They came up with a mission statement. They said, we measure success by the way we touch the lives of others. And so we're in the business of people. And the way that you make people feel cared for and is by serving them. And when you do that, the business is going to prosper. And so, thankfully, I had the best examples of that growing up. My dad and my grandfather, they were just the most amazing servant leaders I could ever watch. So watching the way they led and cared for our people prompted me to come up with a little slogan of ours, and that is that our employees are our family, and our customers and our vendors are our partners. And so it's all about people. It's, you know, our employees are our family, and our customers and vendors are our partners. And so what does that look like for us? You know, how do we treat our employees like family? We have the number one benefits package in the industry. We take, every year, we take the employees' gross earnings, and we multiply it times 15%, and we put that in a 401k plan for them. And so, you know, we have health care, and one thing that really stands out being a family is our Christmas party. It's the most over-the-top party. Probably spend too much on it. And it's a really special time where every kid and every even grandkid gets a gift from Santa. And then every employee gets at least $1,000 bonus. And it's just, I get to share the why every year. I'm just like, hey guys, this is why we do what we do. It's all for Jesus. And share the gospel, the real reason for Christmas. And so what's cool to watch and been cool to watch is as I've watched the employees, my dad and my grandfather put their needs before their own, the employees then put the company's needs before their own. We have a saying that I just coined that everybody is already doing. It's whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get the product out the door. And our employees embody that all day. They've just learned it from the way that the leaders in our company have led. And so, you know, you might be sitting there thinking, well, that's great, Lance. I'm not the CEO. I don't get to, you know, I'm not a leader. And I got a newsflash for everybody here. If you're a Christian, you are a leader, or at least you're called to be. To lead simply means to influence. And as Christians, we are all to influence others towards Jesus. And so, and the good thing about it is practically what that looks like, you can lead in every direction or in your organization, including with leading your boss. You know, early when I was starting out, I would know the things that my dad didn't like to do or that he struggled with. I would do those things for him because it would help him. And so know your boss's weaknesses. One, by knowing them, you can be ready to extend grace to them rather than letting it frustrate you. And then help them in that, and even do it for them. And, you know, one thing I like to say is take ownership of the relationship. Just you own the relationship. You focus on serving your boss. You've got to always be for the mission of your organization and for the success of your boss. And you might think, Lance, you don't know my boss. My boss is the worst human on the earth. Well, another newsflash for you. God put Pharaoh over Egypt, and he put your boss over you. And so God has you in the place that you're at for a reason. And your job is just to be faithful. Be faithful where you're at today. No matter how terrible your boss is, the worse he is, the better he or she is, the better of an opportunity for you to show how to serve. And so as Ryan mentioned, we won a really big award. This Industry Week Award is the best plant, one of the best plants in the country this year. And I had originally just submitted the application just thinking it'd give us a good benchmark to see where we needed to improve. And sure enough, we made it a finalist, and this auditor came out to interview all of our people and meet with us. And at the end of it, she sat me down and she said, Lance, I've been doing this since 1996. And I've never been at a place where people feel more cared for and are more proud of where they work. And man, that brought tears to my eyes. And you know, I can sit up here and brag about it because it's all in the glory to God. And really, it's all because of the faithful men before me. My grandfather, my dad, you know, just laying down their lives for their people. And when you do that, people feel cared for. So be excellent and be a servant. And if you do those two things, then that brings me to my point three, and that's be ready. You've got to be ready to share the why for the way that you are, and that's share the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect." So be ready. Be ready to share the gospel, the why you do what you do. You should be performing your work with such excellence and serving other people with such excellence that people want to know why you are that way. And if they're not asking, if they don't already know why you are that way, then you're not doing your job of being excellent and being a servant leader. And so I challenge you today. Excellence, if you need motivation, the gospel is communicated in the way that you serve your customers, even the product that you deliver. That all communicates something. And so remember that it's your ministry and that you're doing these things for God's glory, and that will help you to be motivated each day to do it with excellence. And so one thing that I like to say is that if you're on a mission at the place you spend the most of your time, then you're not living on mission. So if you aren't on mission at the place you spent most of your time, then you are not living on mission. And so as Christians, we are called to live on mission. And so I challenge each one of you today just to make your work your ministry and live on mission there. And I get it. It's hard to share the gospel, especially in the workplace. Personally, I'm great at sharing with a stranger, but I don't do well at finding a way to bring it up with somebody I've known forever or spend a lot of time with. And so I get that. That can be a struggle. But, you know, I would just encourage you to focus on doing everything with excellence and leading others, being a servant leader. And if you do those two things, then pray for an opportunity to share your faith. And if you do that, I promise you, you will have opportunities to share your faith. And it can be as simple as just, you know, inviting people to church, you know, starting a Bible study at work where you can invite people that you know aren't a Christian. Anything. The holidays are a layup, an opportunity to invite people. Even have them over to your house where you can get to know them on a different level. So focus on leading yourself with excellence and serving others with excellence. And they will compliment you, and then just share the gospel. It's as simple as that. And I just want to encourage you, too. God has you where you're at for a reason. You know, the places that you go to work, you probably have to have a key card to get in. And I can't go get in there, but you can. And so God has you there, under your boss, in the place that you're at, doing the mundane, boring tasks that you do for a reason. And that's so that you can be faithful with the opportunities around you and just be an encouragement to people. One thing that we do to help encourage our team is we have a company chaplain. So I highly encourage that. Any business owners, a resource you can use is Marketplace Chaplains. That's mchapusa.com, and get a company chaplain. So we have a company chaplain that comes out a few times a year and encourages our team with a message, shares the gospel, and goes around and offers to be available to pray for anybody, meet with people, check in with how they're doing. And a cool story that just came from that, we'd had an intern working with us from India. His name was Jay. And he, one day I got to share the gospel with him. He had never heard it before. And the look on his face was just like, it was amazing. He's like, Lance, this is an incredible story. Like, I need to know more about this Jesus. And it's just a fresh reminder of how beautiful the gospel is. You know, we feel like it's such a tough thing to share, but it's actually really good news. And so anyways, you know, he wanted to learn more. I got on Bible. He's joined a Bible study with us and started coming to the porch. And then our pastor came out one day and shared a message. And that day at work, he made Jesus his Lord and Savior. And there's nothing more rewarding than that. And so that was just such an incredible experience. And stuff like that, just eternal work. That's what we're in the business of. And so I just challenge each of you, are there areas of your work that you can be more intentional with gospel-centered relationships? And just to pray for those opportunities and be bold when they come. So just to recap, be excellent, be a servant, and be ready. Be ready to share the why. In order to be able to do that, you've got to constantly remind yourself of the Colossians 3:23 and 24 perspective. I have this as a sticky note on my computer forever. And the reason is because I have to constantly remind myself of it every day because I'm always pulled away. And it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
I hope that you are so encouraged how Lance talked about his faith in God and how it gave him a model to be excellent, be a servant, and always be ready. These are great practical tips, but we can often forget the basics. I would encourage each of you to think about how we might grow in these areas. Now we will continue the conversation with a live audience Q&A.
What would encourage me is maybe some examples of just folks that work with you where you say, hey, this is how an employee is excellent at what they do, not because of their role, but because of just them being faithful. So are there any stories like that that kind of come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to choose one. I mean, just in a way that, like as I mentioned earlier, you know, people do whatever it takes. And so literally, I don't even have to tell people that they need to come work on a Saturday to get something out. I don't have to ask them to do that because they want to do it already on their own. You know, the people in our leadership team are all just great servants as well. And we always just have to remind ourselves of it, just, hey, no matter what your role is, your job is to serve others.
Yeah, as encouraged as we got to go up to Lance's plant last week or 2 weeks ago, and he just said, hey, we never ask folks to really work overtime. They just, people know what needs to get done, and they see a need and are meeting that need, were his words. And so if someone needs to work on a Saturday or stay late, then he just said, hey, people know what needs to get done, and they're doing that without a boss having to tell them to do it. So, and then can you think of just unique ways that folks are serving, and you've seen that modeled even from, you know, just your dad and granddad? You talked a lot about them today, and so just can you give some examples of where that stuck out with them?
Yeah, when the interviewer came out, she was asking Homer, one of our guys has been there for 44 years, and she asked him why he'd been there so long, and he broke down crying. He just said, because Bill always took care of me, and it's tough for me not to get emotional about it, but he talked about how my grandfather, when he first bought the business, you know, accounts receivable, he'd grown the sales quite a bit, and he was working two jobs, and he didn't tell anybody that. Homer found out from somebody else, and then my grandfather was working two jobs, was staying up all night so that he could be able to pay the employees' paychecks each week. And so that's just kind of, that gives you an idea of how it all started. You know, and today that looks like, you know, providing good health care and that 401k plan that is second to none. You know, nobody in the country does that. And so that is because we care about people, and they care about people, and want to take care of them for their future.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then speaking of even just 401k, one of the things that like stuck out to me just spending some time with you is, so I would say manufacturing, kind of more of a blue collar environment, very different than some of the kind of professional crowd, but because of the generosity of their benefits, why don't you just share a little bit about what you shared with me with employees who've been diligent to continue to save, and then the generosity of your guys' company. You said some of your more tenured employees who just kind of their position and what they've been able to help save over the last time at the company.
Yeah, so that welder has been there for 44 years, has almost $1 million in his 401k. I always give him a hard time, like, yeah, you're the only welder that $1 million welder besides Jesse, whatever his name is. I think that just that's one great example. Jeff Manderstedt's here today. He's been there for 31 years, and he is a partner in the company. And speaking of generosity, that's something, you know, my dad has gifted to him in return for his faithful labor. So there's several guys that have been there for a long time that have received ownership in the company because of the way that they've worked for so many years with such excellence.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, I'd love to open it up to questions. So I think there's mics around kind of the sides. If you guys have questions, we'd love to hear from you guys. Yeah. Yep. There's a mic. There's a mic right behind you.
So you talked about sharing the gospel, your faith with your employees, whether it's the Christmas party or other ways. Are there ways that you guys share your faith with vendors and customers that you found to be worthwhile?
I think that, so I mean, it goes back to, we want to serve our customers and our vendors as well in a way that was such excellence that they asked the why. And so most of the time it looks in like, hey, are you guys a Christian organization? Or, because we don't advertise that, you know, people are Christians, organizations aren't. Somebody said that, Robin said that here a couple of months ago, and I thought that's so good. You can put Christian branding all over, but really the way that you live it out and work should provide you those opportunities. So that's kind of what it looks like for us, is usually, hey, let's just focus on being faithful, and those opportunities should present themselves. And then, you know, if there's somebody that's going through a tough time, of course, that would lend itself a different opportunity.
Yeah. And a great resource, there's a book called Workplace Grace that talks about evangelism specifically in the workplace, because there are nuances of that, of how you might share with a family or a coworker or here if someone's knocking on the doors of the church. And so Workplace Grace is a great resource that's nuanced about engaging in spiritual conversations inside of work.
Yeah. Thank you for the question.
Other questions? Yeah.
Hey, Lance. I had a question about, as a leader of a company, how do you encourage work-life balance? I remember being younger and, you know, just jumping at the opportunity to stay late and come in early. But as I have a daughter now, married, it's just way more harder. So, how do you speak to your employees about that?
Yeah, well, for me personally, I don't try to manage their work-life balance, but for manage my own, my wife's in charge of managing that. she calls me. I know it's time to go home when she calls. I have an accountability of that. I mean, I work a lot. I work 50 to 60 hours, which is less than I had been before I had a daughter. And so it looks different now. I'm, you know, trying to leave right at 4:30 every day. I believe in getting up early. I think you can get so much more done early in the morning. And that's, you know, like I said, I use that time for time with the Lord. I think that's critical. And then, you know, be able to get a lot done early in the morning as well. So just you maximize your schedule by working when it doesn't affect your family is what I would tell you.
Yeah.
Because your family, your work's your ministry, but your family is your number one ministry.
Yeah, and I'd encourage to just communicate really well to your family, to your employer, and then also to take that in front of a group of folks around you to help give counsel for what that is. And so oftentimes what I have seen is it's not necessarily even a balance of time as much as communicating expectations really well. If a boss expects you to be there for something or if a family does. And so most of the time, I've seen where people do a bad job of just communicating to the folks around them, and that's what leads to burnout or leads to missed expectations. Yeah.
Thank you. Great question.
Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
I would love to hear, Lance, just how... would love to hear how you leading in a way that God calls you to lead as a believer is not only what God's called you to do, but the benefits in a for-profit business that come from leading the way that God calls you to lead. How is y'all's business better because of that? Have you seen examples of that?
Yeah, I think it's the reason we are successful. Somebody told me that growing up. One of my dad's best friends is his son's my age, and he was like, my dad believes that what reason your company has been so successful is because the way your dad cares for the people. And so, you know, that just always stuck with me. And the book I referenced, Everybody Matters, Barry Waymiller, started out with a $15 million company, and their focus was just touching the lives of others. And he would say explicitly, that is without compromising profit. And he'd say even increases profits. And so I think that Jesus gave us a perfect example for a reason, okay? And we've gone astray. And so if we can follow his leadership, then we're gonna be blessed by it, whether it's financially or eternally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, one of the things that you mentioned was just such a quick change in perspective. Like it was like overnight. Read scripture, and then it kind of seems like your journey has been up and to the right since then, at least from just a fresh perspective. What do you have any advice for folks that are in the midst of that and they're like, no, this payroll stuff is still really hard. Like, yeah. This is painful, filing my TPS reports every day,
yeah.
Or dealing with a bad boss or any of those sort of things. So do you have thoughts for folks where that, even in the midst of trying to have a fresh perspective, that joy and attitude may not come along as quickly?
Yeah. So to clarify, I didn't have like a Paul road to Damascus moment like it may have seemed. I mean, I having that new perspective was paradigm shifting for me, and did certainly influence me immediately, but it still takes the constant reminder every day. Like I'm left to my own devices. By lunch, yeah, I'm running the rat race and I'm distracted on what's important. And so I've got to just just constantly remind myself every day. And I think that's key. And that's the only way that you're going to find joy is by reminding yourself consistently. If you aren't having joy or you aren't feeling like your work has purpose, then you're not reminding yourself of its eternal value and your purpose for being there. So just remind yourself every day about it.
Yeah, I'll just add, yesterday I was reflecting on 2 Timothy 3, and it just talks about not being surprised of persecution that comes, or trials and hardships, those sort of things. And so, my encouragement would be, don't be surprised when work is hard. And as much amazing and good stuff that can come out of work, we still live underneath a fallen world where the curse is real, and we're not fully home yet, and there's going to be days and months and seasons that work is really hard. And so in the midst of that, to reflect on Christ's suffering and to share in his suffering of hard things, that you might grow in more intimacy with Christ by recognizing not just the blessings that come, but also the burden that he took on our behalf, and we might more fully appreciate and understand that from him.
Yeah. I would even say work is always going to be hard. You know, it's work. We get paid for a reason, right? So work is always going to be hard. And your job is just to be faithful every day.
Hi, so you talked about serving others in the workplace, and I really love helping out my coworkers, but I feel like there's a point where serving them turns into doing their job for them. So I was wondering if there are ways to set limits on that, or if, as a Christian, if it's even right to set limits on that. Like, should we just continue to serve, or is there a point where you should kind of pull back a little bit?
Well, you definitely, I mean, you're always at the risk of people taking advantage of you, but, you know, you hope it's for their eternal, you know, change in their eternity. I would say that you just, I think the thing where it really becomes, once your spirit's like, okay, now I'm getting frustrated about this, I feel like they're taking advantage of me, what most people don't want to do is then talk about it, but that's what the only way it's going to get better is if you talk about it. And so, you know, like we always, like in the workplace more than any, you know, some people don't even realize the mistake that they made affects people down the road. And this person, meanwhile, down the road is getting frustrated every day by it, but not saying anything. And so you got to be part of the solution.
Yeah, it's serving is not the same thing as enabling people.
Yeah, that's great.
And so the best thing you can do to serve them maybe to have a really honest conversation, you know, and it's just kind of reminded of John 1:14, where it talks about the sort of love that Jesus has, and it's full of truth and full of grace. And sometimes when we talk about loving somebody, then what we mean is full of grace. But that's not what loving and service kind of looks like in the Bible. Like, there is a truth component to that. And so how you do that is really important. But you want to be careful of going from helping, serving, caring for, and then enabling somebody. And the most serving thing you could do may be to have a really tough conversation with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as you lead laterally, it's more about just encouraging one another and like, hey, I'm going to work with excellence, watch me, and you know, and just encouraging each other along the way. I think that when laterally, if you're doing somebody's job for them, a lot of times you're probably enabling them. So just like Ryan said, having that tough conversation.
Thank you for joining us today for the conversation with Lance. We hope that you leave challenged to apply Jesus's model of being excellent, being a servant, and always being ready, as demonstrated by Lance's faithfulness, and that you would apply that in your vocation and other areas of life. As always, we hope that you hear stories of people wrestling with how to follow God while giving you practical tools to apply God's word to your daily life. We also hope that these are a springboard to go deeper in connecting your faith to your work. To access more resources or to contact us with questions, go to watermark.org/work. We hope you have a great week of worship.